Lord, we thank you so much for the way that you're moving. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the direction that you've been going. And we willfully just step into that, God, just as a family, as a community, as a body. Lord, I just pray that we just be stretched and molded this morning, Lord, in your intentions. Father, just work in our hearts the way that you would like to, God. I am an open vessel for you, God. I have an idea of what you want to share, but Lord, as I open my mouth, let it be from you. And may we all step in this faith of knowing that we are to be oracles of the living God in the world around us, as your word says. In Jesus' name, amen. So yeah, like I said, last weekend, just a quick report on a few things, but last weekend I was on a bro getaway with a whole bunch of young men, ages 19 or, you know what, I think he just turned 20 to 62, but I'd say the median age was like 26 or 27. You know, lots of young people. My buddy, like best bud, Jeremy Strand, and I, we kind of just like God put on his heart to just have this getaway thing, you know, called a retreat or not called a retreat, but just like the only qualification was that you want more. So we had guys from just all walks of life, all ages, and some of them were like literally on the fence still, and some of them were, you know, like the oldest guy was a believer for 35 years. But I just want to report to you guys that, you know, as I missed you last week, it was an amazing weekend. It was literally like revival in a house in the mountains with 11 men. I mean, like I can't put it any lighter and any less than that. It was so good. It was amazing, powerful. Two baptisms, lives were completely like I could tell you, it was miraculous, you know, to see lives completely changed. And the thing that really changed everyone, Jeremy and I, you know, looking back, both agree, was really the love of the Father. Like that's really what it came down to. And in speaking truth through love. Like I usually say, that sounds like a scripture that I've read. Like speaking the truth through love. So you put those things together and you're going to have transformation. You know, this wasn't the kind of retreat where, you know, you go up there and everyone's just amped up, motivated, awesome worship. And then like everyone's just on this high and then they go down and it's just like, you know, it fizzles. You know, anyone ever experienced that? It's like, you know, the fire and then they say, oh, you know, like, you know, we go back home and we just like deflate, you know, but it wasn't like that because when you plant seeds of truth, it's actually going to do the exact opposite. It starts smaller and then it gets only bigger. You know, that's the kingdom. That's how it works. So we just like hammered things, you know, like, you know, the call for men to get back in the fight, you know, to like, you know, to completely, undo and battle with truth, you know, the castration that this world and this culture, sorry, being raw, but you know, that this culture has put on men and how that's even crept into the church and actually like just get in this thing, whatever, like either in or out. And we saw lives just like completely, I mean, they were just like surrendered to Jesus. It was amazing. And so it was just the love of the Father. These guys were like, man, this is not like any other retreat I've ever been on. Like this is amazing. You know, one guy, like, you know, this young guy was just like, man, you know, like usually on a retreat, on a men's retreat, it's all about the men's stuff. We go fishing and camping and doing all this stuff, you know, and then we have to like go to a session. And then in our free time, it's just trying to get away from like whatever. And he's like, in our free time, we even talked about Jesus. It was amazing. So like the whole thing was just flooded with Jesus. It was just Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus. There was no like break from Jesus, right? Because that's not what life is. Like life is found in him. So like, you know, we had guys like, you know, like just quitting drugs on the spot and stuff. And just, I mean, it was whatever. It was amazing. So praise God. Yeah. Yeah. So God's up to some amazing stuff. So, yeah. Okay. So where we were last time. So, I really feel like, and, you know, like this has been resounding like within the church, you know, within the body and the leadership that, you know, like this is the season that the Holy Spirit's really teaching us and nudging us or even, you know, kicking us out there, giving us a little push to just step outside of the box of everyday like inhibitions and to just really step out in faith and to reach out to the world around us. Like we have a great king and a great God and he lives inside of us. So last time I spoke on this, it was stepping out on healing the sick, just general healing the sick. And just to recap, the biggest thing I wanted to accomplish was just to boast your confidence in that this is for you. This is not for the super elite, Superman, wearing the cape kind of Christianity. Jesus said that these signs will follow they that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So if you believe, you're qualified. It's amazing. So you're all qualified to do so. And I shared some stories about stepping out and how, in the first healing miracle, nothing short of it, out of wheelchair, type of miracle that I saw, I'd been scared and I chickened out three times at least from praying for her. And I finally pushed myself on the fourth one. There wasn't the call of angels in the sky and the river of go do it, or even prophetic insight. This was just based on the fact that he was teaching me what it is to be a son. And I realized that I'm a son. I have a kingdom in me that this person needs. And Jesus says that if I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. So the point was not to talk myself out of it. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of stepping forward so much because of all the reasons why we shouldn't. But what about all the reasons why we should? So we could live out of this place of man, if I lay hands on the sick, what if they don't, what if nothing happens? But I would ask you, what if it does? Man. So yesterday, and forgive me, I'm all over the place, but yesterday my daughter took me evangelizing. She took me out evangelizing. It was amazing. She just stretched me so good. Okay, so she's 8 years old, and her dad is into this stuff. So even if her dad's not feeling into that stuff for a certain hour or whatever, it doesn't matter to her, right? So we go to Costco and we're in the car and she's like, "Dad, I really feel I really want," how'd she put it? I really love to just share Jesus with people today. I'm like, okay, cool. In Costco. So, usually my style is a little bit more relational and you kind of have to have a reason to get all up there. I'm not always good at just approaching the absolute stranger. Right. But I've done it. She's seen me do it. She's seen God work that way. So she's moving that way. So as a father, if for no other reason, can I be that father who's yeah, every situation, let me just think of the cop out and a reason not to. So I was done. I was screwed because either way, even if I wasn't ready for it, I have to be ready for it because I'm sowing a seed into the next generation. She needs to see this done. She needs to see this walked out in front of her. Someone's got to bust through the walls because when that happens, people follow. I mean, the only reason why I ever saw amazing things happen is because I finally saw someone else do it. Todd White, he was the one for me. He just did it. If you don't know Todd White, look him up on YouTube. Just amazing because it's an amazing testimony of a man who's just sold out. Isn't that the best way you could put it? It's just, he's sold out. There is nothing else for him but Jesus, nothing. So he will just, if you pass him, if you're in within 100-foot proximity, you're getting the gospel. Okay. But he's amazing. He walks in power and in truth. Why did I bring up Todd White? Oh yeah. So he made this amazing point that and I looked this up too, early 20th century, scientists put a cap, a limit on how fast a man could run a mile. Okay, it was they were using scientific methodology and all this stuff, whatever. And that cap was 4 minutes. They're it's absolutely impossible for a human being to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. So for many, 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 many years, no one ever beat that, of course, until this one guy, the last name Bannister. I don't know if it. Roger Bannister, before my time, but some of yous, Roger Bannister, he completely beat, he got in 3 minutes and 57 or something like that. And then it was interesting, this thing happened. As soon as he beat that, then all around the world, there were reports of people beating that record breaking the 4 minute mile. So how true is that in the kingdom? To me, that's such a kingdom principle. When you see it done, what's that? I love it. I love it because when you see it walk before you, you can do it. So just a quick other report. So yeah, Hannah took me out there, you know, like we were in Costco, and you know, and of course, like, you know, she points to someone and she's like, I really think that God has something on my heart for that person. I'm like, okay, what is it? Like, is there a word? And she's like, yeah, joy. I'm like, okay, what about the joy? like, you know, can we expand on this and stuff? Anyway, so we're like, I know this is like, you know, speaking of like the people plowing through. Okay. So like I'm hesitating, you know, cause I was explaining like, yeah, you know, like it'd be really good to have like, hey, like, you know, could we expound on that? So we asked Holy Spirit together, you know, what are you speaking about these people? Like, you know, could we get your heart, God, for these people? Which that's the purpose of this message today is to engage with the heart culture of God. Okay. But yeah, so this was nonetheless exactly that. And of course, you know, we both walk up to these people and she's like practically like hiding behind me or whatever. Cause I'm like I'm the one to do all the talking, whatever. And this happens all the time. Although by the fifth person, she was getting more and more bold because, you know, like just getting our feet wet was just getting her flowing with it. And it was amazing. We ended up praying for like five people who needed physical healing yesterday. And there were some reports. Most of them were people walking in, or not walking, but driving like power wheelchairs and things like that. And it just wasn't the environment where we were about to be like, hey, like, can you get up and try it? But I'd say every single one of them was touched with the gospel. So that's like amazing. And here's the question that rocks my mind. What if someone does get up? And Costco's crowded, man. On a Saturday, everyone wants their free samples. I mean, groceries. Right? So it's crowded. Like, what if someone would have just, like, sprouted up out of the wheelchair? And then, like, people are going to be, you know, coming down and extremely curious. And it's not just going to be for, like, you know, the weekly local sausage display, okay? Like, you know, they're gonna be like, wow, what is going on? This is amazing. So then you have revival in the store on a Saturday, right? This is the stuff that we're pushing, and mark my words, like I will see this happen. Like, I will. Like, I'm prophetically painting that picture and paving the way for me. So yes, so we shared a few words, we prayed for the sick, and then on our way out, we prayed for a woman who was like, you know, I mean, they're a little bit more hard knock, like rough looking people. Hannah was actually waiting, you know, inside wherever for me to get the car. So Jeremy and I were walking, long story, but you know, like, we prayed for this woman and she was like, wow, there's a lot of warmth in my knee right now. I'm like, yeah, it's the Holy Spirit, whatever. And we prayed for her again. And like, yeah, and we sealed that deal and she was totally getting healed right before our eyes. So amazing. All that to say is that, today, like I would just love to talk to you guys. Like, it doesn't even have to be that long. most people who know me by now, they're like, yeah. I want to recap about God's heart culture because I believe that as a church, we're getting to the point where we believe in healing. I mean, you know, the charismatic circles, right? I mean, the charismania of the Christian church. Like we're getting to believe in healing. I mean, that's been a movement like since the 50s. And then like a few decades ago, the prophetic movement really like, you know, started up really strong. And we've been really adopting that into our culture. And this church has been like, you know, one of the championing, you know, like this is our thing, right? So today, I just want to remind us about the heart culture of God, what I'm talking about. And actually this morning I got a picture of a Petri dish. And Josephine, didn't you get a similar picture? Thank you. Cause I didn't want to put you on the spot, but Josephine's going to share, cause we actually got similar visions. I got one. I stole it from her, if anything. But like, I got a vision like this morning, and it was about a Petri dish. I'm like, I think Josephine saw that like a month ago. But please share that real fast.
It's actually a scientific fact that if you put two heart cells together in a Petri dish and they're beating opposite or different rhythms, that they will come into rhythm with one another. They'll be synchronized. Yeah, that's a scientific fact.
Speaking of the prophetic, that's amazing. So, wow. Because like this morning, like I saw us like all around this big round thing. I'm like, I think it's a Petri dish or whatever. And then like I saw us like jumping in. So then like you know, I Googled and I already knew, you know, I'm not the most like scholarly person in the batch, but like I already knew that like a petri dish is something where they keep a culture of either bacteria or cells or something, like it's a culture. So like that, like I'm like, oh wow, God, the heart culture of God, because that's the word that he gave me. We're entering into the heart culture of God. So that's perfect, because it's like heaven's cells, if you will. Okay. Like in this place. And when we jump in, we're going to, what was it? Synchronize. Thank you. Synchronize with the rhythm of God's heart. And that's just so beautiful. You know, a lot of times, like, you know, people become seers and they can see in the spirit. But like when I read, like, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, is it first or second? Wait, second Corinthians, the love chapter, second or yeah. I said that. Yeah. So when I read that, like I see Paul saying, like, okay, so you see, you have prophetic words, big whoop, without love. There's always a reminder that, like, I could have every word of knowledge. I could have all understanding. That's crazy. Like, all understanding means all. So I could look at anyone and understand anything I want about their life. But if I have love, it's worthless and I am nothing. That's like, that's a really important and stark reminder. So without love, prophecy is nothing. With love, prophecy is like amazing. It's a, you know, like it's the best spiritual gift there is, right? Because then he says, okay, like, I'm going to take a break for a second. Let me make sure that you guys understand the heart culture of God, like the love of God, because this is our first and foremost absolute priority. Because when you're walking in perfect love, prophecy is just, it comes so naturally. It's like supernaturally natural. Okay. So he takes that break, lays down, you know, what, like, just the whole explanation about love, sets it straight, and then he says, pursue love. And some translations actually translate something more like, in that word pursue, it's like pursue love like your life depends on it. And it does. It does. And then he says, and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Because of prophetic, yeah, it's a good gift. Good gift. So it's his love. Like the Lord showed me, like I just felt like, you know, we were to jump into his heart culture in this day. And I just don't think it's a small thing. I think this is for me. I think this is for all of us to be reminded to set our minds. Let's actually go there. Colossians 3:1-2. Feel free to turn there or tap there. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 2. So this is where it's at, guys. Like, we are always, we're in a constant onslaught in the world. Like, there, I don't know about you, but there's always bad news. I don't even watch the news anymore. Like, no joke. Like, Kirsten and I didn't even have a TV for a while. Now we have a TV because we got it for free. And we use a TV, I mean, like, once in a while for something for, like, Hannah. Because I just had to get out of that matrix. I just had to. I had to get rid of that matrix of understanding. Because when you set your mind in what they're feeding you in the world, like, I'm not saying to put your head in the sand and ignore the current events of the world. But the thing is, the TV and the news and what they're presenting to you is their interpretation and reaction to the things of the world. So if we're not careful, then we suddenly suddenly participate in this thing, and we're acting no differently than anyone else. And actually, we're like rehashing and regurgitating the talking points that, like, the very talking points that are meant to divide and conquer. Promise, like, you know, we're like rehashing those things and reposting, like, you know, just to like feed into that anger and that excitement and that divisive spirit. We have to be careful, guys. Like, you know, this is something that I've looked into for a while. And again, it's not out of my ignorance that I say these things. In a matter of fact, I actually spent like a few years of my life because I really wanted to know the truth about what was really going on in current events, and knew that it was like, it had to be more than just like Republicans and Democrats. And actually at the time I didn't know that. I'm like, oh man, I'm just going to like find answers. And when I'm done, because I just happen to be more right leaning, I'm like, well, you know, when I'm done, I'm not even afraid if I come out a Democrat. you know? So like I just did this constant research in like into what's going on in the world around me. So I'm aware, okay? Like I'm really aware, like, and so much deeper than what they tell you, but that's the whole point. A couple of years later, I came out of this knowing that, you know what, like I need to get my head out of this, because again, it's good to be aware, but I just cannot join the emotions and the division and the attitude, like the major attitude, and honestly, the hate that's like always spilled. Like I don't care if you watch CNN or Fox News, or even just hang out around people, even sometimes in church. Hate to say it, but we've been just so wrapped up by the world's interpretation of what's going on, and we are supposed to be people who are like way on a whole nother level. Like we are supposed to be in engaging in heavenly reality and not earthly reality. Okay, and we are supposed to operate and live out of the solution, not the problem. Right? If we get engulfed in this stuff, we're all about the problem. We will live out of the problem. We'll pray out of the problem. And unfortunately, we'll stop seeing as clearly as we can. And we'll actually stop flowing as much as we can prophetically. Like that flow starts damming up when you get out of the heart culture of God and enter the heart culture of man. So Colossians 3, 1 to 2, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ..." Yay. Like that is, man, that's a sermon right there. How many of us believe that we've been baptized, that in our baptism, we joined him in his burial? Like we like died with him. Sometimes we don't like get that fully. And then sometimes we get that fully and we're like, oh man, yeah, I'm just little poor little sinner me, right? Saved by grace because we're like still dead. But if we're a sinner saved by grace, if you're a sinner, how are you going to live as a sinner, right? Like what you believe is what is going to produce, like is the fruit that you're going to produce out of your life. So then sometimes we forget about the finished part, which is like we've been raised with him. So just as he died, it was a co-burial, a co-crucifixion. This is a solid word right here. And then it's co-raised with him in Christ. As he was raised, that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. And now his testimony, this is what he showed me a few weeks ago. The testimony of Jesus is your testimony. He rewrites history. It's amazing. So we align ourselves up with that. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is." So seek, sometimes it says pursue. Sometimes it's like, you know, you could take a like more of like engage with, okay? So seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. That right there is a sign of authority. Like when you're engaging in the heavenlies where you're also seated, by the way, right? So if he's seated on the right hand of God, where are you seated? The right hand of God. It's not blasphemy, it's Bible. It's truth. So if we're there, who reigns there? It's Jesus. He's on the throne. So when we're engaging with that reality, then suddenly the stuff over here, you don't even succumb to stuff the same way. Like when Jesus walked this earth, he just wasn't under their authority. Like he didn't even have to engage in the political arena at the time, which is also interesting. Like notice like how like, you know, he never like stepped out and like started a civil rights movement or like, you know, any like revolts against the government. Yes, stand. Like he just didn't do that. And that was Rome, dude. Like Rome was no joke. Like we think it's like pretty bad now. You know, like I agree with the corruption, like you know, with the fact that there is corruption present, but man, like talk about corrupt. Rome was like, whew, like, you know, you got to watch out or you'll be like, you know, hung or beheaded or thrown to the lions. And that was just like the start. It was like corrupt to the bone, but he didn't engage in that. And actually, so the political spirit, like I always warn against that, but like the political spirit, like it has no power without the religious spirit. The religious spirit and the political spirit are best buds, but it's the religious spirit that uses politics to get its agenda completed. A little example of that is actually putting our Savior on the cross. that was a religious spirit. The only run-ins that Jesus had with anyone, I mean, like he hung out and like, you know, he hung out with the lowest of the low in society, whatever. And sometimes, by the way, like the way he hung out with the unlovable, whatever, like I just hope that if Jesus were to come today and just do the same thing, we wouldn't like have the same exact reaction that the Pharisees did. But Jesus hung out with the unlovable, and he never had these run-ins where he like called out their you did this and you need to repent. It was never like that. It was actually the goodness of God that led men to repentance. But the only time that he did get like a little like, wow, bad day for anyone against Jesus here. The only time that he did get like full of some sort of rage was with the religious spirit. So like, you know, he was actually confronted with the political spirit, and we won't go into that now, but like, it was just like, it just had no effect on him. He was just like on a whole different wavelength, but with the religious spirit, he like tore it up. He really did. And the reason for that is, I believe that like, he can't work with that. He just can't work with it. Like when you enter into the bondage of religion, law for the sake of law, without your heart in it for God, like you're running into death. You're running into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The law, like the obsession with what's right and wrong, comes from the wrong tree, guys. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? The knowledge of what's right and wrong. So sometimes we could be like more about what's right and what's wrong in society today than the heart of God. There actually is a difference. And even though something is truthful about a certain people group that just gets under your skin, just because it's true, it doesn't mean that you should proclaim it. It doesn't mean that you actually harp on that. That there's an even bigger, like, and better place to be in, which is the heart of God for that people group. Thank God that he didn't have that reaction to me. Like, oh man, like, you know, watch that. Evan Dukas, he is, I mean, like, you know, some years ago, like, wow. Like, you know, he professes, but he doesn't live it. He's leading people astray, maybe. Like, you know, like all this stuff. Like, he's in complete rebellion. He's in sin. And, like, call me out and make me feel guilty. Like, that just wasn't how God got me. He got me by his goodness. So neither should I now do that. Okay, like, so that's like one of the main things I really wanted to get across today was just because you see something that's going on and you know, like something like, wow, that is so wrong, and they're doing all this stuff, whatever, it's up to us to now see them with the value and destiny of God. It's the God who calls things that are not as though they are. That is God's heart culture. A really good example is Sean Bolt's. You know, many of you know who he, amazing guy. Like he gives this example because he's working in Hollywood, and there was this like pop star that like, I mean, you know, if he said the name, everyone would be like, oh my gosh, like you know, like the kind of the kind of woman that you know you wouldn't want like your kids listening to and this and that, and she's like full of like evil and hatred in her music. It's just not good, leading people astray, bad stuff, right? So like one of Sean Bolt's friends who was in the same exact industry, they had like this party. You know, he attended like this normal, you know, this typical party, you know, partying hard in Hollywood there. And like he was like abstaining from drugs, and this woman, you know, who was the pop star, was like, "Hey, what's the deal, you know, so and so? Like usually you're just all about this, and why are you glowing? Like what's going on with you? Like you are so different right now," or whatever. And he was like, "Actually, you know, so-and-so, I need to tell you, like, I know it sounds cliche, but I met Jesus. I found Jesus. And actually, it's like he found me, and he just went, like, just went into the gospel." And this woman was like, wow, like, I'm not quite where you are, you know, but like I don't know if I'm ready to accept this, but oh, that's amazing, so-and-so. Like, you know, that really hit my heart. Like, this, you know, this is really tugging at me, and I'm going to, like, you know, I'm going to go back and pray this thing through, right? Then Sean Bolt's, you know, like he heard the story from his friend. He was like, yes, you know, because he had his heart is automatically for every one of these people. So like he doesn't call out the injustices and the issues. He's not about calling out the issue as much as like hearing the voice of God for that person or for that region or for that nation, because that's the prophetic. So like, you know, he tells it, he's like so excited. And then Sean Bolts goes to one of his favorite, like most favorite preachers of all times, you know, this big conference. And he said, like, my heart absolutely sank because the preacher, who's huge, like he was like, yeah, if I told you all his name, like everyone would know who he was. was ranking and like completely destroying this woman with his words, whatever, like pronouncing all these bad things on, like, you know, just spewing all the stuff, whatever, that everyone knows anyway, for like a half hour going on and on. And he's like, oh my God, like Lord, like, you know, and the Lord spoke to him prophetically, like now you see the difference between the way that I see and the way that they see. So this was like really important. And he was like, wow, like he was just praying for mercy that this woman would not like find out what this pastor said. So I thought that was like, you know, just a really neat story because this stuff happens. And then another one is Compassion International. Their beginnings started very prophetically because they were involved with a country that was in shambles, corruption, horrible stuff going on. There were, you know, there was a war going on there, but they like they tuned into the frequency of God's heart for South Korea at the time. And you know, they saw like all the injustice, but they're like, what can we do about it? God, like, so instead of concentrating on all the bad that was going on there only, they said, what are you doing there? See, that's what the prophetic does. It doesn't focus on the things that the world tells you is happening. It focuses on what God is doing in the midst of that thing. Because otherwise we're like, you know, our focus is on what God is not doing. So they end up getting involved, ended up like creating this system of sponsoring children, and they became Compassion International. I forget exactly how the story goes, but like through a series of events, the whole nation like changed, like, you know, through that very thing, just because there was one man that led and a body of believers that saw, they wanted to tune in to what God was doing in the midst of the shambles. So I say to you, I challenge us here, what about North Korea? Right? Like it's so easy for me to just like be like, oh yeah, that guy, like, you know, and just call out the leader and all this stuff, whatever. That's what everyone does. That's what CNN does. And that's what like Fox News does and everyone else like around us does. But what about what God's saying? Like, is God saying something different? And like, and you know, and it's our choice and it's our, privilege to be able to be his voice in this world. Like we said before, you know, to know that as we speak, we can be like oracles of God because we're the representatives. We're it. We're the A-team, right? Like we are it. So we need to get off the bench. So it's the love of God that all good things, all heavenly things flow. The love is like the frequency, the currency of heaven. When you are in love, his love, then everything else comes so easily out of that place. And what you don't love, you're not going to be able to have a prophetic voice for. It takes love. And we see that all throughout the scripture. And actually, Kirsten and I were just reading Jonah last night. Man, that's a good one. You know, like the Lord gave him a word and he was like, yes, destruction. Like this city's terrible. Like they deserve it all, God. So like, yeah, like, you know, but like it didn't work out the way, you know, the way he wanted to. Like I used to believe that like, you know, he was fearful. So he jetted, you know, he was like, he was like, no, I'm not giving that word. But actually, Jonah out of his own mouth, you know, like you actually figure out that no, it was less fear. It was more that his heart was not in the right place and he wasn't engaging in God's heart for that city, because God's heart was for that city. And that was meant to be a warning. And then like afterwards, when God, you know, like relented and held judgment that was due them, by the way, it was due them. When he did that, Jonah was like, you know, he literally like, I mean, in today's language, he was like, yep. Like he was really upset, to the point of like, in his words that God just kill me now. He was like that upset and attached to the judgment in his words that he was like, just kill me now. Like I knew that you were going to be compassionate and gracious and kind and loving to these people. And it all comes out right there. Like, you know, and that was the issue. So where was I? First Corinthians 1:2. I didn't even get through that. Did I get through that? I'm sorry. Colossians 3:1-2. So let's see if I actually have the capability of like reading this without preaching for 20 minutes in between each word. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated in authority Sorry, I failed that one. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Wow. The NLT, the New Living Translation, says it this way. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. That's amazing. Like we've talked about before, where your heart is, your life flows out of that very place. Was that scripture like, you know, the wellsprings of life flow from, you know, from your heart. So where your focus is, it's going to dictate, like, you know, your reality. When you're focused on something so much, your reality becomes that. Like, I think that we could all, like, attest to that. When we really believe something strongly, or we're just immersed in something, that becomes your reality. So reality and truth aren't always the same. We're interested in truth and God's truth. So we want our reality to match up with his truth for our life and for the world around us. So I praise God that he never had this thing with me. Like, you know, even in my darkest day where anyone could have rightly accused me, rightly judged me, and rightly given me what I deserved. It didn't happen like that. He never lost sight of who I can be in him. He saw my potential always. And thank God, like, and the world needs us to do the same for them. I hope you're hearing that, because that's huge. Bob Jones, he said, actually, I'm not going to go there yet. I'd like to go to another scripture real fast. Should I do this, Lord? Yeah, let's do it. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. This is a very sobering parable. I've shared this with Hannah many times. It's like Christianity 101, but it's just so key, and to me, it's foundational for our life. Okay, Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" "As many as 7 times, Jesus said to him. "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. So, you know, he goes into this parable, and this could be used for so much more than forgiveness. Again, this is to just really nail in the point that we're trying to get across here, which is, hey, we've experienced God's goodness and grace, and he never lost sight of who we can be in him, so we do the same. Verse 23 says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And apparently that's a lot of money. That's like millions. "And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, begging him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, out of compassion, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt." That's like amazing. "But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is like not that much money, especially in proportion. It's like nothing compared to what he had owed and you know, what he was forgiven for. "And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me. I will pay you.'" It's the same, you know, the same line. "He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt." And we know how the end happens, and it's not good. The question I have this morning is, did that servant who was forgiven, did he have every right to throw the other guy in prison? He did. It was lawful. It was lawful. There's a reason why he ended up in prison. He owed him debt. But sometimes the heart of God completely trumps truth. And sometimes it even trumps law. Sometimes mercy really does triumph over judgment. Right? So I want to be like, God, may we never be like this servant who is able to experience all your benefits, but is not actually transformed in our hearts. See, God is calling us, I believe, to a greater measure of prophecy and even beyond prophecy, this place where prophecy actually reaches its fulfillment and celebration. And in my opinion, that's called sonship. Because if we identify ourselves by a gifting, that's great. I mean, we are to celebrate our giftings, and that's awesome. But be prepared to be done away with eventually, right? Because all these things, all these gifts are for now, and they are temporary in nature. But a son is forever, and love is forever. So with that said, I really believe that prophecy is meant, it's going to be fulfilled. We're going to come into this time where we adopt the heart culture of God so strongly that it's not even a matter of going into the Spirit and seeing and then coming back out of the Spirit, right? Going in and out, or dipping into the river and then coming out of the river, although that's so awesome, that would be awesome as it is. But he's actually going to transform us from the inside out, where our heart is his heart. His thoughts are our thoughts. In the Old Testament, he wanted to spell that out. So high above your thoughts are my thoughts, says the Lord. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul goes into this amazing teaching. I won't go into it now. You look into it, but it's so good because he says we have the mind of Christ and we have the thoughts of God, because who knows a person's thoughts except their inner being, their spirit within them, right? Paul says, and then he says, same with God. No one's going to know his thoughts except the Spirit of God. Then he says, now we don't have a spirit, the spirit that comes from the world, but we have the Spirit of God living in us. You guys see that? That's huge. Like we're not living by the opinions of the world. We're literally living, if we will come in touch with this reality, because I promise you it's possible, we'll be living from the place of our heart. It's no longer a bitter, dirty heart. It's his heart in us. He says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll replace the heart of stone with a soft one, with a fleshly one. That means soft and full of love. So now we have the Spirit of God inside of us. So now we know God's thoughts. That's I check out there. That's so good. But what we're doing is we're whetting our appetite right now and just realizing that this is possible. It's no longer the old way where we're just in and out, in and out, in and out, and help me to see. But it's more engaging in the reality that is already ours. If he says that we're seated in heavenly places already, then maybe you are exactly where you need to be in life. We're always I have to get to that next step. I have to get to this breakthrough. And that's awesome. Keep believing that. But realize sometimes it's just a matter of our perspective, because the heavenly reality of it is that we're already seated with him. So what if it's less about getting to a place here on earth, a new, graduating to a new place here on earth, but what if it's more a matter of actually engaging with what's already going on in the heavenlies, because it's engaging in the eternal realm, the eternal truths of the gospel and who we are in him. Yay. So a couple of quotes for you, and I don't know, I think we'll start closing it. Okay, so Mike Bickle, he says, we prophesy each time we make his passionate heart known. That's amazing. Yesterday, I was a little stretched, just being honest. Hannah wasn't, but I was. And something happens when, and I've been experiencing this a lot, not just yesterday, but man, sometimes it's putting on Christ. It's just this decision to be I'm going to really love the people around me. God, help me. Here's the application here that we're learning, right? Help me to see the world as you see it. Let me have your eyes. God, give me your perspective. So help me to really see people the way that you see them. Help me to see people groups or even political groups the way you see them. Because by the way, what's ever going to change? Like if we just keep perpetuating the negative, the false prophecy of all the negative that's going on, the world needs us to operate out of the solution, not the problem, right? Like we're the sons of God. They're waiting for us to be revealed. So you know, we can come to the Lord and be like, Lord, help me to see with your eyes this, the, you know, the way that you see people, and he will answer that prayer. It's like amazing. Like I could personally attest. So yesterday I'm with Hannah in Costco, and man, like, you know, we're praying for people who are sick, and I'm just being like completely honest, guys. Like, you know, this guy, you know, there's another wheelchair, like, and my first reaction was like, oh no, like, I hope Hannah doesn't see it. Because if she sees it, she goes, Dad, there's another one. Like, we need to pray for them. And by the way, it's like, side note, you know, okay, so there's this one woman in a chair. I'm like all over the place. There's one woman in it, like, you know, in a wheelchair, like, you know, the power thing, just like riding, like just going. And like, there were like a whole bunch of workers in this, you know, in this corner. So I was just going to wait. You know, I was going to wait until she at least turned the corner, because they're, you know, they're like, these workers have authority in this place, and if they don't agree with what I'm doing, they have the right to kick me out. So I actually explained that to her, you know, like, you know, my hesitation. She's like, pfft. She's like, Dad, like, no joke. She was like, Dad, like, and she did this like three times. I'm like, no, but, I was like, no, sweetie, like, I am going to pray for her. Don't worry. She's not going anywhere. There's like a wall there. So she's not leaving. We're going to pray for her. But, you know, like, I'm just being strategic. You know, there's a bunch of workers there. Like, I'd actually rather wait till like she's cleared. So like, you know, we don't get kicked out. And she's like, but Dad, like what happened with Peter? And she's like, starts telling this story or whatever. I'm like, oh man. So she like got me, man. Like, yeah. So, I did wait till she cleared, you know, but anyway, so later on, like, there's this man pushing what turned out to be his daughter, who had an accident and fell 20 years ago, and since then he didn't explain the condition, but I read it as literally physically completely physically paralyzed and probably brain dead. Okay, and so, like, you know, this, like, I confess to you guys, this is why when I saw this come past, you know, like, you know, when I saw this happen, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, and I see her head make, like, you know, like from behind, I could tell, like, she made contact, and I'm like, oh, like, she's like, Dad, whatever. And I was like, well, sweetie, like, you know, this is okay. Yeah. Let's just think about this. Cause this is like, really, this is serious, sweetie. And, you know, she's looking at me like I'm confused, because she's like a child. She, like, you know, and then like the voice of God, like, right away came into me. Is like, is this a problem? Like, is this a problem? Like, is there some kind of cap on my, like, you know, limitations to heal? Like, is a pinky different from, like, you know, the whole body, like, you know, paralyzation, right? Paralyzing. So yeah. So anyway, but like the Lord just corrected me right away, and we went over there, you know, but I will tell you this. And this is a very important point to make as we step out in our giftings and callings, is to, like, just don't forget to love. Like, just do it through love. Whether it's praying for healing, whether it's prophesying, do it through love. If you love your neighbor, like, you could absolutely do no wrong. Even if you get the wrong word, like, sometimes you could redeem it by love, because it's love that all these things flow through. This is really important. So like, for me to go over there, like, you know, you betcha, like, I'm not going to go over there with, like, you know, the heart of, like, oh yeah, this is just another notch on my belt, and another, like, statistic and another possible testimony. Because that man who has been taking care of his daughter for 20 years, probably doing everything that he can for her, I was almost crying. I mean, I was like done, you know, like to see that, whatever, like, he's going to see right through that. Like if you're not coming from, I mean, you have to be ready for love. And if you're not doing these things through love, just stand back until you have it. Like, no joke. Like, it's serious, because we actually do a lot of damage. I've literally seen people get prophetic words that, like, you know, that were, they actually saw on target and the rest of that person's life was ruined. I'm not saying that, like, you know, it's beyond God's grace or whatever. You know, there are good things for, like, you know, for that person. And then we all would know this person. But like, it was a prophetic word that this man saw something clearly in the spirit, but it was void of the heart of the love of God and his heart. And he didn't see God's destiny and his vision for this person through that thing that he saw was coming. Hopefully that wasn't too confusing, but like, no joke. So yeah, I mean, and you know, it went amazing, by the way. And we spoke, I mean, we were just almost crying with this man, and we spoke life, you know, into this woman, and we spoke life into him, and we blessed him, and we said that he's amazing and that she's amazing. Like, you know, we found out her name, and we're just speaking healing into her body. And I really believe that this man is going to be seeing a shift in his daughter, because God's good. God's good. Okay, and then one more quote. It's Bob Jones. He said, "I died in 1973. My heart stopped. I was brought before Jesus, and he only asked me one thing. Did you learn to love, Bob?" So let's just end it on there. So just that reminder. Just may we be that people. May we be the solution to the world of problems, because Jesus is the solution. And so seeing God's heart for people, it's amazing how much some of you are saying, like, "Good guys, you know, this is great, but I don't have a prophetic bone in my body." I promise you, you do. And as soon as you leap into that petri dish, as soon as you leap into God's heart culture, his love, I promise you, it's amazing how things will just flow out of that place. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. God, we don't want anything else if it doesn't involve your love. And I thank you, God, that love really is the answer. Not the kind of love that, like, you know, that's just a pushover and compromises, but real love, which rejoices in truth and is able to see so viciously, just see through and beyond every single problem that this world has to bring forward to us, because we don't expect anything different for now, but that sees through the problem and delivers the answer. Lord, we want to be the people with the answer. We know the answer is Jesus. God, I thank you for your heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, I just wanted to bless two people. Like, so I don't think I've ever met you two before, but it's cool. So speaking about all this stuff, entering into God's love, I just saw like a few visions over you two. So is Emily or Amy? Amy. So really nice to meet you, Amy. And I saw a few things, but I saw Jesus actually kneel down at your feet, and he got the towel out, and then you're like, "Oh, I know how this goes," right? And you almost had this hesitancy because he wanted to wash your feet. And it was like this humility, because you're amazing, and I just see your heart for God, and I see that you've just been so captivated, and you've tasted of God's goodness, and you continue to live that, like, you know, like throughout your life. But I also saw, like, okay, Jesus, like, I know how this goes, but like, it's okay, because it was just so intimate and so vulnerable. And he says, "I want to get into that place with you. Like, I want you to be able to come to me in vulnerability, because I love you, and you can trust me with every single like part of everything, even the most vulnerable places." I feel like he was saying that no wound is too much to completely heal, and no thing is too big for who I am, and not just like for my power, but for my love. So I just felt like he was just pursuing you. When we were singing those, that song, when John was singing with eyes of fire, I saw his eyes like a fire of love that burns for you. So I just believe for just amazing things for you, and you're already amazing. And also there's something showing me about your feet, speaking of that, whatever, because in that washing, it was like a preparation for your feet. And I believe that you are like out of what he's doing in your heart, you're going to be like a portal, like a living, like, gateway. And like, you know, like wherever you are, it could be like the most negative negative and like annoying, like challenging situation, but because you're planted there, because your feet are there, he's going to give you that ground. It says the Lord, like he's going to give you that ground that you stand on. And to me, it's so amazing. Like, it's not like some territorial, it is kind of a territorial thing. It's not a battle thing as much as you just being there. And so, like, you know, your heart is going to be like an open gateway. I just see you like a portal. And so the whole atmosphere in that area, including your home, is just going to, like, change and just be blessed by you just being there out of that intimate relationship that you share with Jesus. So I just want to encourage you. And God bless you. If anyone has anything, if anyone's getting anything, please add it. I invite you. And, you know, or just find her later on. But, yeah. Like, so thanks for coming. We just bless you. You're amazing. So I just want to release that. Lord, I thank you so much for Amy. I just thank you, Lord, for just the way that you're coming in, just like with the rush of love into her heart, God. And I thank you, Lord, for just courage, God, to just step all the way in, into this place that you're bringing her, Lord, just the way that you want to touch her. Like, you've already touched her, and we know that because she's amazing. But, Lord, like, yeah, I just pray for courage just to, like, open up in just an even greater way than ever before. And I just call forth your destiny, that you are a daughter of the Most High, and that you do have amazing faith. I just see great and mighty faith in you. Like, he calls you, like, a mighty warrior. So, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for just all the ground that she's going to take in you, and that's not going to seem like some big striving and battle. It's just going to be because of who she is. She's a living rock, just placed in this area, whatever it is. Just thank you, Lord. We just release and seal these words in Jesus' name. Amen. And Paul, right? Cool. So I just felt like this overwhelming sense of, like, you know, that you're a son. And almost so much that I was almost wondering in the natural if you, like if you have bloodline of Israel or anything like that, that you know of. Oh, okay, but like it was so strong. I just felt like you know the Father's love for you. And you know what? Like, it doesn't matter because you are of his bloodline now anyway. Like, you know, you've been adopted into his family, and he calls you a son. And I just felt his desire to just really father you in, like, an even greater way than ever before. And I also saw before that there was, like, a river. We were talking about this river a lot during early morning prayer. You guys ought to come more often. It's amazing. So, like, you know, river during, you know, early morning prayer. And, you know, like, I saw it just flowing out. And you were standing right, you know, right next to it. And you were just, like, watching it. And it wasn't even, like, moving. So you're just wondering, like, what is this? Where is it going? But you took the plunge. You just, like I just saw you jump into the river. Like, I don't know what that means to you, like, but you just jumped in, you took the plunge. And as soon as you did, it was almost like an unforeseen undertow that just, like, it just took you and just launched you. I mean, you just started, like, flowing fast. I was like, okay, Lord, should I share that one? That's like, that sound good. But it was really good. And then what happened was, like, this river kind of split off, like almost like a tree shape, just split off into, like, you know, different branches of the water. And and I saw you just, like, you had this amazing grace to be able to go into each and every place, every irrigation, like every little channel, every river, every stream that just split off from that thing. I don't know if you just, like, were able to, like, split into many, like, I don't know, but it, like, it was amazing. You had this grace. So I just felt like he just wants to blow away your expectations. Like, I feel like, you know, you've always had like certain things between you and the Lord, whatever, certain things that you've wanted to see or whatever. And I just feel like he's going to meet you in that place, and he's going to show you something, like, beyond anything that you would have ever dreamed of or expected. And he's going to confirm this, like, very soon. And that he wants to take you, I don't know if it was the nations or just, like, into many places and many people. You know, you could weigh that one out, but you just had this grace and ability to speak into many situations. It wasn't just one, it was many. So Lord, we just release. Did you have something?
Yeah. So with that word, I'm not 100% certain of this, but there's not such a thing as an undertow in a river. It's more that you see that in an ocean. So that to me speaks of the unusualness of the kingdom of God. And you're to expect things that are not usual. You're supposed to, your expectation should be in the unusual, because the usual is man's way. It's the way of this world, but God's ways are way far above it. And so the undertow in a river is not usual. So what you're going to be swept up in is not usual.
That's really good. Okay, so we're just going to, do you want to lay hands? Just want to release. Is that okay? If we just release the word? Yeah. Yeah, I just believe that when you take the plunge, God is going to put you right into motion and some amazing things that he's had for you for a long time.
One thing I spoke this in the beginning of when we were in prayer, but in the river of God, in the living waters, it's impossible to die. It's impossible.
Yep. Amen.
So taking the leap, know that you're leaping into life, not death. No matter if you can't see, you're leaping into something that is life-giving, not something that will promote death in you, except the death of Jesus, what Jesus already did on the cross.
Does any of that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, cool. I just want to get that confirmation before we release. That's awesome. So, Lord, we thank you for your word, and I thank you for this amazing son. Like, I just feel like I'm laying hands on someone that I just admire and someone who has just an amazing calling on his life. So, Lord, I just release that plunge, that grace to just take the plunge, just to get right in the water. And, Lord, I believe that you're going to blow through every single doubt, every insecurity, every single inhibition. In Jesus' name, we just seal these words, Lord. And I thank you that you're about to launch him into something amazing. And he just honors your faith, brother. He just so honors your faith. Like, I just feel that already. And Lord, I just thank you for the mighty, amazing work that you're going to do through Paul, your son. And I also feel like he wants to untether you. Lord, I thank you that he's untethered, untied from any limitations from before, but he's adopted into the bloodline, a heavenly bloodline of Jesus, because you rewrite our history and you redo, like, Lord, we thank you for just new reality and heavenly perspectives, God. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, God, because you prove yourself so well. Just thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for letting me do that, by the way. Us do that. It's like amazing. Okay.